Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Today's topic is called The Light of Truth, and I'm going to be sharing some channeled information with you coming from the book The Silver Birch Companion, which is one of my more favorite books. And this is, of course, Silver Birch is an Indian spirit who channels through an English psychic. And, of course, back in 1956 is when this occurred. And this book has been published, of course, in 1986. So The Light of Truth discusses the issue of the metaphysical Christ, the metaphysical Jesus Christ. Lately, we've been having some calls this week trying to put down astrology or metaphysics, or trying to defend fundamentalist religious thought or whatever. And I thought that some of you might need to know, you know, the metaphysical epic surrounding Christ, and who he was and what he meant. And I feel that this chapter in the Silver Birch Companion, the Light of Truth, which I will read to you, the channeled information from Silver Birch, really does nail it on the head. Now, I'm not trying to tell you that I'm an expert on Jesus Christ at all. I do believe he was a very powerful man, that he did have a godlike consciousness, which is a lot of us are striving towards, messianic sort of heritage, consciousness speaking. And I do believe that he is and was the closest reflection to God that you could ever imagine. So if you want to know if I do accept him as the Son of God, no problem, you know, but still, at the same time, I do think that it's important that we do look at him and identify him as a man. This guy, Jesus Christ, is an interesting guy because in many ways, of course, I can't compare myself to him, but in many ways, we would have got along, and I believe that we are friends because he understands astrology. And if you tell somebody that's into fundamentalist religion that, they'll go, oh, no, not the Christ, not the Christ, you know, but no, it's true. This guy had a lot of time in his life that was unrecorded, where he was missing, and no one knows what he did and where he went, and suddenly he appeared with all these powers. Well, where do you think he got these powers? You know, he had to develop them just like you're trying to develop them. And he went off to India and to Egypt and to China and learned mysticism and occult matters and supernatural experiences and the divisions of the levels of the universe and his heritage and where he came from. And he was raised by a very mystical group of Jewish people called the Essenes. And if you're aware of the Dead Sea Scrolls, you'll be aware of some information that was revealed about the Essenes several decades ago that brought about their existence. It was a faction of Jewish, mystical Jewish people that existed for the mere purpose of training Mary and Joseph and people surrounding this issue. Anyway, this isn't Christmas or anything, but at the same time, I thought that I would discuss this issue because we have been having some calls from some fundamentalist people that wondered about the connection between astrology, metaphysics, Christianity, Judaism, and all that good stuff. But anyway, I'm not trying to make anybody mad at myself, at me, except for myself. But at the same time, I'm going to read you this chapter from the Silver Birch Companion, and you know, I do want you to know that I do believe that this man, the Christ, was extremely psychic, extremely powerful, and was an example of a messianic heritage that we could all can learn from. Okay, so basically, let's take a look at the Silver Birch Companion and see what it's about. I'm going to be reading from page 65. I'll read you the whole chapter, and would like to hear whether you're upset about this, whether you agree with it, whether you have a further opinion on it. But at the same time, because we are reaching a qualification point in our lives on this planet where I believe millions of people will rise to a level of consciousness comparable to Christ-like consciousness, okay? And a lot of people would think that was blasphemy, or that a lot of people would not agree with that, but a lot of New Agers and metaphysical people would agree with that. Of course, if people that follow the Course in Miracles would definitely agree with that. And of course, people that have read Silver Birch would also agree with that. So it feels good to think that human beings do have that kind of power, okay? So let's take a look at this. The Light of Truth, Chapter 6. All right, let's clear my throat. Okay, 2,000 years ago, there died upon a cross a man whose influence over world events and many mortal minds still reigns supreme. And, of course, 2,000 years ago was the beginning of the Age of Pisces. And, of course, Christ was the individual who symbolized the Age of Pisces. The martyrdom, okay? But what has Jesus done since then? Silver Birch once explained that Jesus was in charge of a drive from the spirit world to give this earth once more the essentials of Christianity, which had become overgrown with creeds and dogmas and vested interests. Then, at another sitting, Silver Birch spoke of him again, declaring, "Yesterday the Nazarene was crucified only because the priests hated him, because the power of the Spirit was made manifest through him, because he was of God, because it meant the shattering of their vested interest or their business. Today, there is still the same opposition. They have tried to crucify truth, but they cannot. Truth survives all the opposition, all the hostility, because it is truth. While outside the churches, the power of the Spirit is being made manifest, these empty, desolate mausoleums have no light of the Spirit to relieve their gloomy darkness." Ooh, Silver Birch, he doesn't talk too kindly about churches. I'm going to take a deep breath here. All right, this is some heavy stuff. It's getting hot in here, I'll tell you. "Do you think we should be better off if the church were to die tomorrow?" asked a sitter. Silver Birch said, "I have no interest in churches, bricks, and mortar, altars, and steeples," replied the guide. "They make no appeal to me. I am not interested in buildings. I am interested in souls, and I strive to drive away all the barriers between the Great Spirit and his children. Unfortunately, the churches stand in the way. What condemnation that is! The Great Spirit is not restricted to a church. The Great Spirit is not captured in a building. His power is to be seen when human life reveals itself in all its radiant divinity, in the desire to give selfless service, and reveals itself by devotion to suffering, helpless humanity. That is where we find the Great Spirit." I want you to know that this is American Indian philosophy that is coming through Silver Birch through this English channel in the 50s. Pretty heavy stuff, I might add. "Here and there, it is," I continue, "here and there, it is true, there are individuals in the churches who strive to do their best. It is the system that I condemn, because it stands in the way and must be swept on one side. Religion has naught to do with ritual and ceremony, with beautiful singing and chanting, with jewels and gorgeous raiments and vestments. Religion is service, serving the Great Spirit by serving his children. How often have I said that? Your churches have divided mankind, separated nations and classes, caused war and bitterness." I love this. "Rancor, bloodshed, torture, inquisition. They have opposed the march of knowledge, invention, science, and discovery. They have sought to protect a vested interest, fearful and afraid lest the new knowledge should engulf them. The truth is here to stay. It cannot be stemmed any longer." A sitter remarked that the Nazarene must feel very strongly about those things. "Misrepresented, worshipped, and deified, where do you think the Nazarene is?" asked Silver Birch. "He's not in Canterbury Cathedral, not in St. Paul's, not in Westminster. They have driven him out. They have made him inaccessible and beyond the reach of mankind. They have crowned him with godhood. They have confused the simple minds with doctrines based on fables and myths, and have placed the Nazarene far beyond their reach. He's working to serve humanity still. It is all so simple, but they have made it so difficult, so complicated. And they have said that we who teach these truths are powers of evil, masquerading as angels, that this is the voice of Satan, the prince of darkness, who teaches you to serve one another and to fight the vested interests of selfishness." And I will include here how many times people have called this show quoting the prophecy in the Bible, particularly Isaiah. You know, and once again, I do believe the Bible has been horribly altered, okay, and blasphemed, and that's what Silver Birch is talking about here. Okay, I'll continue. But their day is done. They have failed you and have nothing to offer a weary, desolate world. It seems that the Nazarene presides over the confidences of spirit guides that are held twice a year in the spirit world, at Easter and at Christmas. Silverbirch always suspended his sittings for a few weeks at these times so he could attend the conferences. He sometimes tried to explain what happens at them. At one sitting, the last before a break, he said, "This is the greatest pleasure of all, to which I look forward with eager anticipation. When I can become my real self just for a short while and enjoy what is my rightful heritage, to mix with those I have known so well, so long, and to taste life as it is understood only in those spheres where reality is known by those who have a spiritual discernment from years of progress and evolution." By the way, if you just tuned in, I am reading from the book Channeled Information from the Silver Birch Companion, the chapter called The Light of Truth, which talks about what I believe is the truth surrounding the epic of Christ, the metaphysical truth. So if you tuned in late, I'm sorry if you missed some of this, but you can hang in and figure it out for yourself. Silverbridge continues, "I do not speak egotistically. You who live in the world of matter, who are restricted to five crude senses, you whose spirits are imprisoned in a physical body, you who are limited, you who know not the boundless joys of a freed spirit, you who know only life through its five prison bars, you do not yet realize what life means. You do not know how the spirit, when it finds itself, has the freedom to enjoy all the beauties of the great spirit that belong to the higher self and deeper consciousness. I go back to my own, to those with whom I have been for many centuries, to taste the life that I knew for so long, that I have willingly abandoned to serve you all. I would not be truthful if I did not say that on this occasion I look forward with joy to all that is in store. As you know, this is our greatest festival of all, when a mighty concourse of all beings, of all races, of all nationalities, all the servers and laborers in the many fields and in many lands meet to compare their progress. I cannot describe it because there is no language. All the beauties that you have imagined in your greatest moments of inspiration pale into unimportant insignificance besides the reality that is ours on these occasions." He's talking about Christmas and Easter. "The greatest joy of all is to make contact once again with the Nazarene, not the Nazarene of the churches, not the being who has been misrepresented and exalted and deified into an inaccessible and remote position, but the great human spirit who only seeks to inspire service, who wishes to share his greatness with all who desire to serve his Father and our Father." Silverbirch always took the opportunity at these last seances before his absence for a few weeks to speak of the work that had been done through the circle and to give quite unnecessary thanks to the circle members for their loyalty. "I want you all to know," he said, "that as the years pass and the bonds of intimate love between us become closer, I pay tribute to the Great Spirit, who gave me the privilege of serving you and enabled me to win the affection of the loving hearts of those who know me not as I am, but who hear me speak to them just once every week and who respect me because they believe and trust me. I am proud of your love and your confidence, and I strive always to say nothing and to do nothing that in any way shall mar the great affection that I know wells up in your hearts and towards me. I rejoice that our labors have borne so much fruit. I rejoice that so many have found the light of truth because of the little work that we have done. I rejoice because ignorance has been vanquished and superstition compelled to withdraw. I rejoice because truth marches on and we are in the vanguard. I rejoice that you have had stout hearts in the great fight that we have constantly waged and that you have not failed. You have played your part with loyalty and have not betrayed the great trust that has been reposed in you. I rejoice in your service because I see in a humble way the success of my own mission reflected in your labors." There followed a personal message to each member of the circle, as was Silverbirch's custom on these occasions. When these were finished, he went on. Now, with a heart that is a little heavy, but with a mind that is joyous in anticipation, I will leave you. I will go and seek refreshment from the fount of all spiritual energy. I will go to seek new inspiration from on high, so that filled with vitalizing power, I may return to be of greater service to you and to manifest, I hope, more of the rich bounty of the infinite great spirit. I will take with me all the love of your hearts, all the good wishes I know, and I will come back to you, and I will look forward to meeting you all again. Be full of hope and courage. The snows of winter bring despair, but spring comes in all her fresh garb, arrayed in smiling laughter. Be full of hope and courage. Even the darkest night gives way to the glory of the dawn, which heralds the rising sun. And now farewell. The great spirit bless you, and cause the benediction of his infinite love to be showered on you in all its bounty. His spirit radiate through all your spirits and shine triumphantly in the lives that you live. The great spirit bless you all. I leave the darkness of your world and greet the light of higher realms. And my last words are the words that I always use when I come. The great spirit bless you all. After attending one of these Spirit World conferences, Silver Birch also commented, there I have recaptured some of the glories which once belonged to me. I have been permitted once again to share in the deliberations of those who strive to work for the betterment of your world, to aid progress, and whose ambition is to accelerate all the reforms that are so necessary for the well-being of your world. The work that has been done by many of us has been reviewed in all its details, and we have shown how far we have succeeded and where we have failed. Plans have been made, a program has been compiled for the work that lies ahead of us, the work that is to be achieved to advance these truths so necessary in the present state of your world's evolution. I have met many whose desire is to serve you, whom death has not prevented from the labors that lie close to their hearts. And if I may be forgiven a little personal note, a thing of rarity, I am proud to say that I have received some little commendation for the small work I've been able to achieve during the past few months. I feel that I do not deserve it, for I'm only the mouthpiece. I've repeated the message of those who sent me, and you have broadcast it. One wonders if Silver Birch knew in 1956 if this was going to go over LA radio in 1989. These truths which we enunciate have brought knowledge, comfort, and cheer to many who know not where to turn, whose hearts were heavy, filled with grief, in whose eyes there were tears of sorrow. And let's see, here's a prayer to bring the light that I think is really nice. If you memorize this and say this, it might bring you some power. But let's see. Let us seek the blessing of the great spirit of all. O great white spirit, the whole of certain of creation pays homage to thee, because thy laws sustain every manifestation of life, and all rhythm is but an expression of thee. Thou hast sent into the world of matter at all times instruments who can radiate thy love, thy wisdom, and thy knowledge, that they might become living demonstrations of thy spirit, to being the light of thy truth into the darkness of men's minds, to illumine all mankind with the rays of thy infinite wisdom and love. O great spirit, thou hast sent us thy messengers once again to bring to the children of earth the knowledge of thee and thy laws, that they may understand their relationship with thee, and so begin to understand themselves and the purpose for which thou hast placed them in the world of matter. We thank thee because we are able to hold communion with those susceptible to the things of thy spirit, and whose ears, eyes, minds, hearts, and souls are attuned to our larger life, and who can listen to the message that thou wouldst have us proclaim, the light of truth, to bring the light. So, after hearing this chapter that I read from Silver Birch Companion, it's interesting to note that from what I understand here, what he's telling us is this man, Christ, is very similar to a person like yourself. somebody who seeks higher consciousness, somebody who seeks spiritual clarity, someone who is filled with light and love and not limitations or dogma or arrogance or conceit or competition, but somebody who actually rose up with their meditations and with their prayers and with their metaphysical lifestyle to reflect a godlike essence with tremendous power. You know, like, I'm not, you know, like, this stuff walking on water is interesting because, you know, right now some of the people in the Transcendental Meditation program are working on levitation or being able to defeat gravity. And maybe Christ in his studies and in his path was able to levitate on top of water and actually attain this level of consciousness. You got to believe that this being was of an extraordinarily highly evolved essence. And that would mean that whatever the powers of God that could be projected or reflected from a human being on this planet would have been the powers that he would have certainly attained. You know, I do believe that some of the stories surrounding the life and the death or the ascension of Christ were myth and fantasy and fable, and that a lot of this stuff was also perverted and blasphemed and changed, because just like Silver Birch said, there were vested interests, there were businesses to be run, there were careers of ministers and priests to be, you know, nurtured and taken care of. There was lots of money in these churches, and like Silver Birch says, it's not brick and it's not mortar and it's not steel that brings God. It's spirit. It is a non-material essence that brings God, that dwells inside of each and every one of us. And that's what this show is really dedicated to. This show, The Astrology Hour on KFOX, is an astrological metaphysical radio program that is established and dedicated to help bring about somehow, some way, the significance of the individual, the spirit of God that dwells within the individual, not informing you that I believe that you need to seek outside of yourself to find a savior, which is what a lot of the fundamentalist religions preach. You know, the fundamentalist religions, which are a symptom of the age of Pisces, literally preach the need to seek truth and power outside of yourself. And the New Age thought, the Aquarian thought, the humanitarian essence, which is currently coming to fold by many people like Shirley MacLaine and other people that have really been rising up in consciousness, like the Maharishi and a lot of them, Meher Baba and Paramahansa Yogananda, just so many of these people. You know, Krishna and all these people that lived and saw the light and felt the glory and the consciousness and the power and are helping deliver it to the planet to help restore the essence. You know, like books like The Course in Miracles that are striving, and like this show, that are striving to restore the power of the Spirit of God that dwells within the individual, to let you know that a man like Jesus Christ lived and that he is the example of this power, of this messianic ability, of this Son of God legacy that you can all attain. Okay? Because this is what I believe, and this is what I literally for myself have proven in my studies with people I have met. Now, I have seen the light of God's love in the eyes of many of my masters and teachers in my 40 years of life, energy that has blown me away, visions in my dreams and in my meditations of biblical proportions that I'm now sure that any individual can have. You know, one wonders why a supplemental Bible was never written after the New Testament, and one wonders why the miracles of the Bible and the prophets of the Bible stopped after Jesus. Did you ever think about that? Did you ever wonder why the story stopped and why there wasn't an even newer testament or a third testament, or why the miracles and why angels and why these visions and all these things didn't occur after the death and the ascension of Christ? Do you know why? Did you ever consider that maybe it was just a big story, a fantasy, a fable that people tried to explain that they really didn't understand, or somehow maybe some evil factions of the world got a hold of it and change the meaning or the significance of the true spiritual power because of the vested interests that were involved in the church that was established after Christ ascended? When Christ lived, he didn't have a church. You know, the planet was his church, the fields, the mountaintops, and the green grass and the deserts and the seas. You know, why is it that that these ministers and these popes and these other beings that are teaching God and religion, what do they need a church for? Why can't they just go outside and meet with thousands of people and share their power like that? You know, they don't even need a tent or chairs. Why don't you just sit in the grass and just be easy with it, you know? Or be on the radio and just deliver it through the airwaves, something like that. Well, anyway, this is a very unusual and I'm sure controversial topic, and I'm sure that some of you do have some comments on it. If you agree with it or if you understand it, I would love for you to share that with me today. We'll be going to the phones momentarily, but I do believe, from what I've learned, and I have studied this entire Judeo-Christian epic my whole life, you know, from going to a Methodist college and taking all those religious classes and trying to understand the truth behind this information. And I've just come up with the power of the individual being restored as far as what the return of Christ really means in the Bible. That would be the return of a Christ-like consciousness to the hearts and minds of men and women at this time in world history. So you're going to be dealing, hopefully, with millions and millions of people that will be of a Christ-like reflection in the coming years as we speak. Very controversial topic. And you know, the funny thing about the whole thing is that I do believe that understanding astrology and metaphysics was a vital foundation to the roots of his being able to understand the mechanics of the universe, the mechanics of God, and reflecting that love and light to people on this planet when he was alive. This is KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. I'm Farley Malaris. The Astrology Hour has been here over 5 years on KFOX, presenting all types of controversial subjects and topics.